Blog Talk Radio.
Someday I'll have me a chauffeur and a block-long limousine, EO11. EO11. Someday I'll have me a penthouse, stacks and stacks of Bowling Green, EO11. EO11. It's all a state of mind, whether or not you find that place down there or heaven. In the meantime, EO11. 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 Show me a man without a dream, and I'll show you a man that's dead, real dead. Once I had me a dream, but that dream got kicked in the head, dream dead. I nearly had me that chauffeur and that block-long limousine, EO11, EO11. I nearly had me that penthouse, all them stacks of Bowling Green, EO11, 11. Some judge is gonna say I'm putting you away for 4 score years and 7. In the meantime, EO11, 11.
Ooh, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it.
I am the fallen soldier, sailor, airman, and marine. Remember me. I am the one that held the line. Sometimes I volunteered. Sometimes I went because I was told to go. But when the nation called, I answered. In order to serve, I left behind the family, friends, and freedom that so many take for granted. Over time, I used different weapons. A sword, a musket, a bayonet, a rifle, a machine gun. Often, I marched into battle on foot. Other times, I rode to battle on horseback or in wagons, sometimes on trains. Later, in tanks or jeeps or Humvees. In early wars, my ships were made of wood and powered by the wind. Later, they were made of steel and powered by diesel fuel, or the atom. I even took to the air and mastered the sky in planes, helicopters, and jets. The machines of war evolved and changed with the times. But remember that it was always me, the warrior, that had to fight our nation's enemies. I fought at Lexington and Concord as our nation was born. I crossed the Delaware on Christmas Day in 1776. In the Civil War, I fought with my brothers and against my brothers at Gettysburg and Shiloh and Bull Run. I learned that we must never again divide. In World War I, I marched on the Marne and held the line at Belleau Wood. The war to end all wars, they called it. I just called it hell. In World War II, I fought everywhere. The beaches of Normandy, the Battle of the Bulge, the hell of Guadalcanal. I stood against tyranny and kept darkness from consuming the world. In Korea, I landed at Incheon and broke out of the Chosen Reservoir. They called it the Forgotten War, but I never forgot. In Vietnam, I fought in the Mekong Delta, at Khe Sanh, and Hamburger Hill. Some say my country wavered, but I did not waver. Ever. In the recent past, I have fought in Iraq and Afghanistan, in Baghdad, Fallujah, and Ramadi, in Kunar, Helmand, and Kandahar. As technology advanced, I used night vision goggles and global positioning systems and drones and lasers and thermal optics. But it was still me, a human being, that did the work. It was me that patrolled up the mountains or across the desert or through the streets. It was me that suffered in merciless heat and bitter cold. It was me that went out night after night to confront our nation's enemies and confront evil face to face. It was me. Remember me. I was a warrior. But also remember that I was not only a warrior. Remember also that I was a son, a brother, a father. I was a daughter, a sister, a mother. I was a person, like you, a real person with hopes and dreams for the future. I wanted to have children. I wanted to see my son score a touchdown or shoot the winning basket. I wanted to walk my daughter down the aisle. I wanted to kiss my wife again. When I told her I would be with her until the end, I meant it. When I told my children I would always be there for them, I meant it. But I gave all that away. All of it. On that distant battlefield, amongst the fear and the fire and the bullets, or in the sky above enemy territory filled with flak, or on the unforgiving sea where we fought against the enemy and against the depths of the abyss. There, in those awful places, I held the line. I did not waver, and I did not hesitate. I, the soldier, sailor, airman, or marine, I stood my ground and sacrificed my life, my future, my hopes, my dreams. I sacrificed everything for you. This Memorial Day, remember me, the fallen warrior. And remember me not for my sake, but for yours. Remember what I sacrificed so you can truly appreciate the incredible treasures you have. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. You have the joys of life, the joys that I gave up so that you can relish in them. A cool wind in the air, the gentle spring grass on your bare feet, the warm summer sun on your face, family, friends, and freedom. Never forget where it all came from. It came from sacrifice, the supreme sacrifice. Live a life that honors us, the fallen heroes. Remember us and make every day Memorial Day.
If we look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth, it was because here in this land, we unleashed the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before. Freedom and the dignity of the individual have been more available and assured here than in any other place on earth. The price for this freedom at times has been high, but we have never been unwilling to pay that price. Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look. The sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David, they add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Belleau Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Pork Chop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under one such marker lies a young man, Martin Treptow, who left his job in a small town barber shop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf, under the heading My Pledge, he had written these words: America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. We must realize that no arsenal or no weapon in the arsenals of the world is so formidable as the will and moral courage of free men and women. It is a weapon our adversaries in today's world do not have. It is a weapon that we as Americans do have. Let that be understood by those who practice terrorism and prey upon their neighbors. As for the enemies of freedom, those who are potential adversaries, they will be reminded that peace is the highest aspiration of the American people. We will negotiate for it, sacrifice for it. We will not surrender for it now or ever. We are Americans.
When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth a separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light, transient causes, and accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having a direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. He has refused his assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. He has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained, and when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend to them. He has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people unless those people would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature, a right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only. He has called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant from the depository of their public records for the sole purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with his measures. He has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing, with manly firmness, his invasions on the rights of the people. He has refused for a long time after such dissolutions to cause others to be elected, whereby the legislative powers, incapable of annihilation, have returned to the people at large for their exercise. The state, remaining in the meantime exposed to all the dangers of invasion from without and convulsions within. He has endeavored to prevent the population of these states for that purpose, obstructing the laws for naturalization of foreigners, refusing to pass others to encourage their migration hither, and raising the conditions of new appropriations of lands. He has obstructed the administration of justice by refusing his assent to laws for establishing judiciary powers. He has made judges dependent on his will alone for the tenure of their offices and the amount and payment of their salaries. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. He has kept among us in times of peace standing armies without the consent of our legislatures. He has affected to render the military independent of and superior to the civil power. He has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to their acts of pretended legislation. For quartering large bodies of troops among us. For protecting them by a mock trial from punishment for any murders which they should commit on the inhabitants of these states. For cutting off our trade with all parts of the world. For imposing taxes on us without our consent. For depriving us in many cases of the benefits of trial by jury. For transporting us beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses. For abolishing the free system of English laws in a neighboring province, establishing therein an arbitrary government, and enlarging its boundaries so as to render it at once an example and fit instrument for introducing the same absolute rule into these colonies. For taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws and altering fundamentally the forms of our governments. For suspending our own legislatures and declaring themselves invested with power to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever. He has abdicated government here by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. He has plundered our seas, ravaged our coasts, burnt our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people. He is at this time transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death, desolation, and tyranny already begun with circumstances of cruelty and perfidy scarcely paralleled in the most barbarous of ages and totally unworthy the head of a civilized nation. He has constrained our fellow citizens taken captive on the high seas to bear arms against their country and to become the executioners of their friends and brethren or to fall themselves by their hands. He has excited domestic insurrections amongst us and has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers, the merciless Indian savages, whose known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. Nor have we been wanting in attentions to our British brethren. We have warned them from time to time of attempts by their legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. We've reminded them of the circumstances of our immigration and settlement here. We have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity, and we have conjured them by the ties of our common kindred to disavow these usurpations, which would inevitably interrupt our connections and correspondence. They, too, have been deaf to the voice of justice and of consanguinity. We must therefore acquiesce in the necessity which denounces our separation and hold them, as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, in peace, friends. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress, assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do, in the name and by authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are, and of right, ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states they have the full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Our lives, our fortunes, our sacred honor. Hey, I bet you were wondering what happened. Well, Blog Talk, and we're going to let it go at that. Hey, and I could have come back a lot sooner, but I really dig listening to me read that. A conservative perspective, people, right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network, more or less. It happens. Sometimes, you know, Blog Talk just drops a call and you don't even know it. You got 5 seconds before you go on the air, you run your intro music, everything's cool. You start talking and nothingsville. And that's what happened. So we had to backtrack, reconfigure. It happens sometimes. I'm not going to get too upset with them. I don't need the heartburn. Good to be with you. Happy Memorial Day weekend. I hope you guys, well, Tuesday after Memorial Day, I hope you guys had a safe and a blessed and a somewhat reflective Memorial Day weekend. As we speak right now, you and I, in the afterglow of the burgers and the dogs and the ribs and the chicken and the melons and the beer and all those things, which, you know, it's the first weekend of summer, and in a lot of places it was pretty nice. Some places it wasn't all right. But weather-wise, in a lot of places, it was pretty nice. And here in the Mountain State in West Virginia is no exception. We had a really terrific weekend. And every day since probably 4 weeks ago, every day for the last month, we'll say, that we know of. It may have gone on longer, and we don't know how long it's going to continue. But on average, while you and I sit here talking, and I said, basking in the afterglow of the first weekend of summer, having a terrific time, 20 nursing home residents in New York died every day. Did you hear me? From what? Well, I think we know from what. There was a directive that went out March 25th advising nursing home administrators and social service directors and directors of nursing, as well as hospital discharge personnel. If they're leaving the hospital and they're going back to a nursing home, or they're going to continue their rehabilitation or their recovery in a nursing home, you're not going to test them to see whether or not they've got corona. You're going to have to figure it out. And you can't refuse them. You can't refuse them admission because you think they have corona. See, so not only would they let, they wouldn't let these people test. Not only would they not let these people assess them and test to see if they have the coronavirus, the COVID-19, they wouldn't even let them suspect that they had the COVID-19. Again, you guys, here's the deal, and nobody's talking about it. Well, that's not true. I feel a bit vindicated. 2 weeks later, some of these clowns at the establishment news media, Fox and what have you, are finally starting to talk about this crap. But you heard it here first on roller derby, guys. March 25th, this mandate goes down. So everybody that's in the hospital prior to March 25th that has gotten a nice, fat, healthy dose of COVID-19, and if they came from a nursing home, or if they're going, again, if they're going to finish their recovery, complete their convalescence in a nursing home, they're going to the nursing home, but nobody can check them for the China virus. Nobody can even, you're not even allowed to suspect that they might have it. Put them in there. So they take these people, Governor Andrew Man Boobs Cuomo, Governor Nipples Cuomo, and what is that other clown's name? He's a doctor and a lawyer. And I'm like, oh, God, what an overachiever complex this idiot has to have. You want to talk about self-importance? Mother, Howard Zucker. Hey, Howard. Howard Zucker, MD, stands for Mr. Doctor, and JD, which has something to do with the law. I don't know. Anyway, so he's a doctor and a lawyer. And then Sally Dreslin, the also-ran, who is a master of science, has a registered nursing degree. And, of course, Governor Cuomo. These are the three names on this letterhead. Okay? The brain trust, if you will. No resident shall be denied readmission or admission to the nursing home solely based on a confirmed or suspected diagnosis of COVID-19. Nursing homes, further, are prohibited from requiring a hospitalized resident who is determined medically stable to be tested for COVID-19 prior to admission or readmission. Now, the nursing home administrators, the directors of nursing, the directors of social work, the hospital discharge planners, are all on a level of astronomical intellectual superiority compared to Larry, Curly, and Cuomo. Every single one of these people knew what was going to happen. Every single one of them knew what was going to happen. And there wasn't a thing in the world they could do about it. Why? Because Andrew Manboobs Cuomo, Howard A-hole Zucker, and Sally also ran Dreslin said this is the way it's going to be. Sorting all that stuff out on your end is where that happens. That's your job. We're not worrying about it. We're saving lives. In the meantime, the Javits Center Hospital sits empty. U.S. Naval Hospital ship USS Comfort anchored in New York Harbor left after 4 weeks, 90% empty, only 10% full. 1,000 beds, they treated 100-some people. U.S. Naval Hospital ship Mercy in Los Angeles Harbor, even fewer than that. In the end, and they're going to say stuff to show you how desperate. I tried to find the clip, but I didn't know. I was running short on time. How desperate Cuomo is, because he knows that it is his blood in the water that people are starting to sniff, and he's trying to throw it off on President Trump and anybody else, and he's also trying to throw it off on Fauci and Burks, and he should, because those two guys were idiots. The models that they relied on were produced by a guy over in England named Neil Ferguson, who is an outrageous doomsday fetishist. Every single model the dude comes up with is a worst-case scenario. After having looked at the stuff, some of the people that said, oh, yeah, well, this was good stuff, say, well, if we had known the research methodology was what he was using, we would have done away with this. And not only would we have done away with this, we would have fired him. Even if it didn't work for us, we would have still fired him. That's how bad this was. Well, Fauci is the same guy that predicted a zillion people would die from AIDS. Fauci is the same guy that told us this was cool. Then he said, nah, you don't need a mask. Then he says, yeah, you need a mask. Then he says, ah, it's okay to go hook up on Craigslist. And he still hadn't changed his mind on that, I don't think. But now, you know, everybody's going back and saying, oh, these terrible models. This guy told us 200,000 people. 3 weeks ago, Fauci told us 200,000 people were going to die. And Dr. Birx backed it up saying, even if we did everything almost perfect, those are the numbers we're looking at. It never happened. Because the models were failed from the get-go. The models were designed based on the prejudices of the designers. There was no impartiality here, okay? This wasn't blind, true, cold, logical science, okay? No. This was worst-case scenario, doomsday fetishist porn. And Fauci, who is a bit of a doomsday fetishist himself, said, yeah, that's the ticket. Yeah, it's going to be a trillion people. Yeah, that's it. A trillion people all over the galaxy. A trillion people in the galaxy are going to die from the China virus. I could have stopped it, but I was honeymooning with my new wife, Morgan Fairchild. I mean, it's just crazy crap. Just crazy crap. And everybody to this day are still slavishly deferring to these peck sniffs. They are wrong. They have been wrong from the get-go. And no one has owned it. Everybody points fingers. What was it, Cuomo? Let's go back to Cuomo, and we're going to get on to Whitmer too. Gretchen Half Whitmer. She's another hot to Trotsky Democrat that's in the running for the VP slot. And you know, excuse me. Hold on a second. I'm going to have to hit the. No, it's not the coronavirus. Damn it! I just Kool-Aid went down the wrong pipe. Sit tight. I'm going to clear my throat. And we're back. What were we talking about? Oh, Whitmer and Cuomo. Again, people, it is one of many egregious, heinous, villainous, evil, dastardly, underhanded, weaselly, politically terrible. Let me find the wrong. I think this is it. All right, right here. Yeah. Again, U.S. Naval Hospital ship Comfort, New York Harbor. Less than 200 people treated on a hospital ship that could care, seriously care, for 1,000 people. Here's what Nipsey had to say.
Nursing home wants to transfer to the Comfort. The Comfort is a federal facility. It doesn't take transfers from nursing homes. It only takes transfers from hospitals. That's why the Comfort wouldn't take a transfer from a nursing home, because the specific protocol on that specific ship said the people have to come from a hospital.
Because, and he acts like he knew this the whole time. So, you know, why didn't he do something about it? 4 weeks. 4 weeks. Nobody could get on the phone, not even one of his stooges, get on the phone and talk to one of the president's stooges and say, hey, listen, we got a red tape problem here. We've got people that have coronavirus in the nursing homes, and we need to get them on a hospital ship Comfort, but we got this bureaucratic thing. Can you fix it? Now, what do you think would have happened? Donald Trump would have reached over and picked up another phone and put it to the opposite ear and dealt with this problem. Our grandparents, our aunts and uncles, our moms and dads. In some cases, older brothers, cousins. How many World War II vets, Korea vets, Vietnam vets died in the last month in New York because of Governor Nichols' criminal actions? How many? Our grandparents, our aunts and uncles, our moms and dads. How many died? No burgers and dogs for those cats. No burgers and dogs for those cats, Howard. Useless Zucker. Sally. No strawberry shortcake, honey. No horseshoes. No watching the grandkids play. No spending a day on the boat with the family. How was your Memorial Day weekend, Andy? You and Fredo and the families hook up? Forget about that social distancing crap, right? Because you guys, you know, it's different with you guys. Was your mom with you? Did she have a good Memorial Day? Hanging out with the boys? How about you, Howard? Sally, did you guys have a good time with your families? Your grandparents still alive? Were they with you? Because I know a lot of people whose grandparents died in the last month, they weren't with them. And you know what? There's probably going to be a lot more that aren't here for Father's Day either, or the 4th of July, or VE Day. We just had VE Day. VJ Day. Not VJJ Day, VJ, Victory Over Japan Day. It's not a celebration of Oprah. That was, like I said, that's VJJ Day. We're not talking about that. Oh, God. You get my point. And all those people that weren't here for Memorial Day, they're not going to be here for any of those holidays ever again. You know why? Because murderous bastards like Andrew Cuomo and Howard Zucker and Sally Dressland, who knew what they were doing, who knew what they were doing every damn minute, killed them. Hey, change my mind. They killed them. Phil Murphy, New Jersey, did the same thing. Was the guy's name in Pennsylvania? Tom Wolf. Tom Wolf in Pennsylvania, yeah. Gretchen Half Whitmer. We're going to spend a little time on her. God, I hate that. Oh. But at the end of the day, Andy, what do we say about all these people that you have killed and have yet to kill? They haven't died yet, but they are. They're dying at the rate of about 20 a day. By now it was 25. And nursing home deaths throughout the United States account for close to 33%, a third of all China virus deaths, nursing home deaths. And the largest percentage of those nursing home deaths, Democrat-controlled states. New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Michigan. Those cats are leading the league in killing who? Our grandparents, our aunts, our uncles, our moms, our dads. Here's what Nichols tells himself at the end of the day.
Look, we have to be able to say we did everything we can, right? We have to look at that death number every day. 156 people died. The only way you put your head on the pillow at night is you say, I did everything I could. They had a hospital bed. They had the best nurses. They had the best doctors. They had ventilators. They had the best treatment. We did everything we could do.
They didn't have a governor
up until today,
or a director of the State Board of Health who knew what could be done.
Say we did everything that we could. As a society.
To kill them, yeah.
You can't save everyone. You're going to lose people. That's life.
You didn't save anybody, Nipsey.
Much higher pay grade. But we did everything.
Stop that pay grade crap.
I want to make sure the
shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Potato head. I am so pay grade. You're the chief executive, you son of a. You're the chief executive of the state. Beyond the president, ain't nobody above your pay grade, dude. You're the captain of the ship. You were voted into that exalted position. You incompetent, nepotistic bastard. Because folks thought they could look to you to do what needed to be done in a time of crisis. Along comes the crisis. And you and the Zuck ass and Highball Sally, what did you do? In my eyes, you did the everything you did. You did, it seems to me, to assist in every possible way this coronavirus, this COVID-19 killing as many people as possible. Why do I say that? Look where you put them. Who is the weakest among us? Who were the most susceptible to this? Who were the greatest at risk, Nipples? Who were they? Our elderly. Our elderly, you dumbass. Our grandparents, our aunts, our uncles, our moms and dads. And what did you do? What did you do, Mr. Dr. Lawyer? What was it Cutler said? The Dr. Lawyer, get better or I'll sue you. Mike, he's got a million of them. I like that one, though. Sally Dresslin, you're just kind of hanging around. Nobody even knows what the hell you do. You're a nurse. You should be taking somebody's temperature somewhere, doing something constructive, rather than killing your state's elderly population. But that's not what you did. No, that's not what you did. And then after it's all said and done, Andy, what did you do? Let's talk about that for a second. Pull this off of Breitbart. I will have the clip on Thursday because everything that this guy says related to this, I'm going to make sure I've got every damning statement I've got. I'm going to make sure I've got every wiggle, that I've got every weaselly lie, that I've got every name of anybody that he throws under the bus in the name of saving his monkey ass. Oh, yeah. Same thing with Grichmer. Same thing. This might be the hill I die on, people. This might be the hill I die on. That's how I'm feeling it. I didn't start out this way. I really didn't. I was called here. Yes, Gary, did you hear me? I was called here. Because of a background that I have. And a voice stronger than any conscience. Go figure, man. But here we are. I picked this up. This is what he said. You know, Cuomo has received harsh criticism, and he will continue to receive harsh criticism because I will continue to criticize him harshly over all this. And what he's last Wednesday, he was talking about this, and he attempted to shift blame for his state's nursing home coronavirus deaths onto the president, saying he was what? He was just following orders. He used a classic Nuremberg defense. He was merely following the guidance from the Centers for Disease Control. March 25th. No resident of a nursing home shall be denied readmission or admission to the nursing home solely based on a confirmed or suspected diagnosis of COVID-19. Nursing homes are prohibited. Remember this, people. Talk to your friends about it. Nursing homes are prohibited from requiring a hospitalized resident who is determined to be medically stable to be tested for COVID-19 prior to admission or readmission. Question from the reporter is this. There is a call, Nipsey. There is, you know what, I'm going to change that. I'm going back to nipples because that is an insult to Nipsey Russell, a man of great wit and brilliant oratory. Governor Nipples, there is a call for a federal probe into how the state handled the nursing home situation, specifically the March executive order, which I just shared with you, allowing COVID-positive patients back into the nursing home. In reflecting on those comments, I was wondering why was that executive order made at that time? Governor Titties. Look, this is a political season. I get it. I refrained from politics. Oh, God. I have refrained from politics. I'm not going to get into a political back and forth, but anyone who wants to ask, why did the state do that with COVID patients and the nursing home? Yeah, well, it's because the state followed President Trump's CDC guidance. So they should ask President Trump. I think that'll stop the conversation. No, Nips. It's not going to stop the conversation. You are the one that even rose when the reporter said executive order. This wasn't an executive order from the CDC. This wasn't a mandate handed from the CDC to all 50 states or all 50 governors. This was you, chief executive. Nobody higher, no paycheck, no pay grade higher than you in the Empire State. Nips. You did this. Follow-up question. Are you fudging the numbers? Because that's the accusation that you're facing, that you're changing the numbers to Let's do one at a time. Your first point. Why did the state do that? Because the state followed President Trump's CDC guidance, okay? That's the answer. No numbers were changed. The CDC told us that everybody who died in New York died from coronavirus. We just did what they said because, you know, the CDC is so smart and we can trust them to look after us. And we, you know, at the CDC, Trump, CDC. And he goes on, and I'm going to get the clip because I'm just having too much fun with it, but you need to hear him in his room on Thursday. We'll have it, I promise you. So, he sent these people without tests, without assessments, mandating that there be no tests or assessments to find out whether they have the China virus. He sends these people in amongst the population that is the highest at risk for this, and he tries to say that the CDC told him to do this. That's his defense, and not just the CDC, Donald Trump's CDC told him to do this. He's just following the guidelines because he just wants stand up guy wanting to do what everybody, you know, just God. Governor, you've shown a willingness. This is reporter number two. You've shown a willingness to thwart President Trump at other times. Why on that March 25th memo did you not thwart him? Why did you follow CDC guidance, and do you regret that? Governor Nips, no, not at all. I mean, considering the death toll, this is a follow-up from the reporter. Well, and this is Cuomo's breakdown. And these three paragraphs should be read as they walk him up the 13 steps to the gallows right before he swings. Well, you have to remember the facts. I know you're the New York Times, but the facts are still facts, right? Even at the Times, okay? Here are the facts. The CDC guidance said a nursing home cannot discriminate against the COVID patient because, at the time, the issue was hospital capacity, right? U.S. Naval Hospital Ship Comfort, 90% empty for a month. The Jacob Javits Center, not a bed, not one. Remember the hospital capacity? And we were dramatically increasing hospital capacity. If a person doesn't need an urgent care bed in a hospital because they're not urgently ill and they have, it, you know, it can take 2 weeks to test negative when you're not urgently ill. Is that the best use of a hospital bed? To have somebody sit there for 2 weeks in it when they don't need the bed because they're not urgently ill. They're just waiting to test negative on the antibody test, which can take 2 weeks. And you need that hospital bed for somebody who may die without it. The second fact, that was a fact. Jesus. The second fact, a nursing home cannot accept a patient who they are not qualified to handle. Oh, my God. Man, this is going to be so easy. For a COVID patient, a nursing home has to say, I can quarantine, I can isolate, I have the right staff, I have the right PPE, or else that nursing home should not take that patient. And the third point, oh, God, we always had alternative beds. Any nursing home that says, I can't take that COVID patient for whatever reason, I don't care what the reason is, I don't have the staff, I don't have the time, I'm overstressed, I don't have the PPE, we always have alternative beds. We have had alternative beds all through this. We never got to a place where we were bumping up against capacity. Oh, yeah, boy, did you not? So any nursing home could just say, I can't handle a COVID person in my, Let's take a brief trip down memory lane. No resident shall be denied readmission or admission to the nursing home based solely on a confirmed or suspected diagnosis of COVID-19. Nursing homes are prohibited from requiring a hospitalized resident who is determined medically stable. They couldn't even say they can't take him. And Cuomo knew in upstate New York, a lot of people, a lot of these folks work, you know, they'll work two or three facilities. You know, they got to. It's a tough job, and they have to do it, and they don't always work at one. And so, and he knew that these people were infected, and they were spreading this around. Then he has the people coming into the hospital, you know, coming in from the hospital that you're not allowed to test. You're not allowed to suspect it. He's tossing these guys under the bus. In the budget appropriation bill, which came around this same time as the executive order, there is a rider in there that says that nursing homes can't be held liable for any potential deaths occurred due to the China virus. He's leaving family members with absolutely nothing. He kills their grandparents, their aunts, their uncles. He kills their moms and dads, and he leaves no one with any recourse to seek redress for these killings. What? What are they? You going to call them deaths, fatalities? They're killings. They were killed because the people who killed them, Andrew Cuomo, Howard Zucker, Sally Dresden, knew what was going to happen when they sent these folks to the nursing homes. They knew it. They knew what they were doing every minute. A little on the agitated side, and we have run way long from a break. We're going to take a little break, and we will be back with more of conservatives' perspective. After this, we're going to focus on Whitmer, and we've got some news, really, about what's going on in terms of the Flynn case and Obamagate, as that just continues to mushroom. Back after this. Well, that's a little bit better. I was getting kind of keyed up there. But you know what? I'm not going to let go of that thing. Seriously, I'm not. These people, Cuomo, what he did, and the heads of his board of health, criminal. Phil Murphy, New Jersey, criminal. Tom Wolf, Pennsylvania, criminal. Whoever the hell it is in Massachusetts, can't remember the name right now, criminal. Illinois, Pritzker, criminal. Northam, Virginia, stupid and criminal. Classless and criminal. And that brings us to everybody's. Anyway, we're going to talk about Gretchen Half Whitmer. She did the same thing. She did exactly the same thing that Cuomo did. Every one of these guys is like Cuomo, you know, set the pace, and everybody fell right in with him, right in lockstep, right behind him, and they all did the same thing. These people are corrupt, evil, elitist. Wawas. Whitmer is no different than the elitist Cuomos, than the elitist Northams, who declare everybody's got to wear a mask, and then he shows up in Norfolk with no mask, posing for selfies with people, after telling everybody else they got to wear masks. Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo, walking around all over the place not wearing a mask. Fred Cuomo, faking everybody out with his coronavirus crap, criticizing the president for taking hydroxychloroquine. Turns out he took the same stuff. Idiots. Like Rand Hoek from Ren and Stimpy. You idiots. So they're finally opening up Michigan. And Gretchen's husband, wanted to, that is Memorial Day weekend, man. We got to get the boat in the water. So the Detroit News has this story, and it says, the owner of a northern Michigan dock company says Governor Gretchen Half Whitmer's husband wanted his boat placed in the water before the Memorial Day weekend, as Whitmer urged residents not to rush into the region because they got to get their boat in the water, and y'all can't be crowding us. See, no longer visible to the public, Facebook posts from North Shore Dock and its owner, Tad Dowker, focused on what Dowker said was a request last week by Whitmer's husband, Mark Mallory. I wonder why it's not Mark Whitmer, or why isn't Gretchen Mallory? See what I mean? These Democrat idiots, they're all so self-insistent jackwagons. Okay, the post has drawn attention from state lawmakers, Republican state lawmakers, who said, you know, well, if this is the case, is the governor's family following her guidance for the rest of the state? So nobody's saying anything, right? At that point in time, they didn't confirm or deny. They turned into the CIA. Governor Whitmer and her family turned into the CIA. They could not confirm nor deny on Monday the assertions by the marina company or its owner. And Brown said the administration, Tiffany Brown, the spokesman there, said the administration wouldn't address every rumor that is spread online. Well, we're not asking you to address every one of them, Honey Bear. We just want to talk about this one right here. Let's just talk about this specific rumor. Nothing? Ain't got nothing for me? Nothing at all. All right. So when told that there was no way to rush his boat into the water, given that the governor had only recently started lifting restrictions, you know, the result of that was that this company, this particular company, I'm sure all of them really, they had very little time to try and process what was going to be a crush of people wanting, you know, let's get our boats in the water. And Half Whitmer's husband said, reportedly, I'm the husband to the governor. Will this make a difference?
Yeah.
I am the husband to the governor. Will this make a difference? Oh, God. Well, the guy said, yeah, it sure will. You're back behind the back of the line, pal. We're not going to get you till next Memorial Day. So then all this comes out. You know, he wanted to cut line, little punt, little peck sniff. And now, with some, this is how these elitists are, man. They'll do this stuff because they think they can. Why? Well, I'm the husband of the governor. Damn it, get my boat up here. And then when it doesn't happen and they get called on it, instead of saying, yeah, we probably shouldn't have done that. Sorry. No, we're just going to act like it's rumors. It's like, never happened. It's never happened. We're just gonna walk on by this. Just going to walk on by. Never happened. We didn't see it. Just another one of those online rumors. Well, a state senator now says that he was drawn into a cover-up by the governor and her staff. State Senator Tom Barrett, he's a Republican from Charlotte, Michigan, wrote on Facebook that he had posted information regarding Mark Mallory's request of a Northern Michigan.com service a boat earlier than scheduled. Barrett said he had verified the information prior to posting it. But just as I was about to go to sleep around 11 p.m., I was contacted through the governor's office, and they adamantly denied the situation. They went so far as to contact the majority leader's chief of staff and specifically call to request I remove my post. According to the Detroit News, Mallory called the doc because he wanted his boat in the water for everybody else because he's the governor's husband. And of course, you know what, man? If I was married to that chick, I might want to get my boat out there first so I could tie that anchor around my neck and go over. She doesn't look like a very happy woman. So he finds out that this is for real, and they bring pressure down on him, and so he takes down the post. Barrett takes down the post because it's what does he say here? Out of an abundance of caution and a hope for our state and the integrity of the office of the governor that this was not true. But then he determined, yeah, well, it is true. So much for the integrity of the governor's office. Later Saturday evening, as the weekend progresses, the docking company, issued a statement that confirmed the sentiments from the original post. Once that statement was public, I felt comfortable to contact the media to tell my side of the story about how I was drawn into a cover-up by the governor's staff. So now, instead of denial, they're simply not responding to questions about it. Barrett said privately he sent word back to the governor's office that he would never again give them the benefit of the doubt. This thing worked out beautifully both ways. He was able to say that he got called in and pressured to carry, you know, to be part of their lie. And so that bit him on the butt. But here's the thing, but we go on. This is not over yet. Okay, we got the owner of the dock, number one, Mark here, was his name? Mark Mallory. Stupo over here actually thinks that he can pull that kind of weight. And kudos to the dock owner that said, chuck you, Farley. We're not going to go with that, and let it go. And then, of course, you know, it comes out, this kind of stuff, somebody's going to talk, somebody was around, somebody heard it, and so it goes in, and we find out it's true. And so then they lie, and then, nope, never happened, just an online rumor. Governor Whitmer doesn't even know anybody named Mark Mallory, never heard of him. Well, they're telling the truth. So it's gotten to the point, what did I put this down as? Half Whitmer. It's gotten to the point that she had to have a press conference about this because they've gone so far in trying to deny, obfuscate, blow smoke over something so simple, really. I mean, yeah, it's elitist. He's a dork. He's a jerk. And that's how these people all are. But, I mean, in the scheme of things, it's a small thing. But they still feel compelled to say, you know, it never happened. We're not even going to discuss it. So, but we are going to discuss it. We're going to take about 5 minutes to do it, Gretchen, because you had to have a presser on this. Listen to what old girl had to say about it.
Before I open it up for Q&A, I thought that I would take a moment to say a few words. You know, this has been a tough time. There's no question. We've been 12 weeks into this, and it is something that I think has been difficult for many. This crisis,
especially you guys, because you haven't got the boat in the water yet.
It's about a killer virus that is confronting all Americans. We need to have some perspective and remember that this is about the people of Michigan who are mourning the loss
and what I can make them do,
loss of a business,
and how I can bend them to my will.
It's about our brave first responders who put their lives
Heil Whitmer.
On taking care of others. Over the past couple of months, we have seen an explosion of rampant rumors and violent death threats against my family and me online. Because of that, I'm not going to get into
it's because you're a bitch and treating everybody like they're criminals.
Discussing every aspect.
I don't even live in Michigan, and I'd like to slap you.
My whereabouts or dispelling
Doofus.
Every inaccurate statement or post. Because frankly, there's just too many to keep up with. That said, I do feel compelled to address the most recent one about my husband, Mark. My husband made a failed attempt at humor last week when checking in with the small business that helps with our boat and dock up north. Knowing it wouldn't make a difference, he jokingly asked if being married to me might move him up in the queue. Obviously,
you mean he knew he had nothing to lose?
Boating prohibition in our early days of COVID-19. He thought it might get a laugh. It didn't. And to be honest, I wasn't laughing either when it was relayed to me, because I knew how it would be perceived. He regretted
correctly. It's
I
been perceived correctly.
Happened, and that's, really
and that's
all
what you didn't
I
want.
To say about it. My family, like most, has been staying home these last couple of months.
In a 100-room mansion on Lake Michigan.
Effectively canceling my own daughter's prom and graduation ceremony. But it gets worse. My family has had men with automatic rifles standing in view of our front window outside of our home.
Well, who was it? The state police? And they're not automatic rifles, you liar.
Written in response to my stay home, stay safe order. My daughters have seen the likeness of their mother hung from a noose in effigy. We have weathered demonstrations that were egged on or participated in by some sitting Republican leaders. Even my neighbors,
like the president, maybe,
as they tried to enjoy their Memorial Day weekend up in Antrim County, despite the fact that I was 200 miles away.
I'm sure they enjoyed it. I'm sure that probably made it a lot better. I think it would have made mine.
I'm not likening my experience to that of someone who is mourning the loss of a loved one.
Yes, you're trying to make it worse.
But that's why, precisely, we have to get this right. Because
what, your story about the cover-up?
Not one of us ever wants to go through this again with a second wave. Now, I'm not
this
going to...
This is because there is no second wave, you idiot.
...ignoring the science and making political calculations.
Yeah, the science. Okay, it's not going to hurt you. It's not going to hurt you. You don't need a mask. You need a mask.
Here in Michigan have made this sacrifice in vain and see our numbers start to rise again.
Oh, Jesus, Gretch, what have you sacrificed?
We have vaccines or herd immunity or a cure. And that means we have to learn to live with this virus for the time being. That means masks.
Like we live with all viruses.
And distancing. And hand washing.
Oh, God.
And staying close to home. We
need Peck
to
sniffs.
Rise to this occasion and not devolve into our worst selves.
Oh, God. I don't think it gets anywhere. That's enough. That's enough, motor mouth. That's enough. I'll check it. But again, you know, if you look at it from this standpoint, these things that she's done, denying the sale of seeds to individuals because it's not essential, cancer screenings, mental health appointments, all these different things that have been non-essential, you can't go here, you can't go there, you can't visit with anybody, all these things that she's done, they don't hurt her with the Democrats. None of the things that she's done, none of these things. And especially this thing with her idiot husband trying to pull rank like, you know, self-insistent jerks do. None of this hurts her in her consideration for the vice president. Hell, if anything, it might enhance it. Now, the rest of us look at it and go, God, how reprehensible can she be? This is terrible. This is a power-mad woman. And she doesn't care anything about who's getting hurt. And when the things happen and she's criticized for it, she wants to make herself look like the victim, like her family is the victim. It is the people of Michigan that are the victim. And she doesn't talk about the people of Michigan other than how they should submit to her authoritarian rule. Authoritarian, not authoritarian. Authoritarian rule. No different than Cuomo. Has Cuomo said anything about the people in New York? Has Gretchen Whitmer said anything positive about the people in Michigan? Hell no. They don't care. Doesn't mean anything. Okay. Oh, God. Okay. We got a little bit of time left. I want to go on. I want to move on to what's going on with General Flynn. I don't know if we're going to get to all of it or not. Andy Biggs, leader and chairman of the Freedom Caucus, was on with Rita Bartiromo. Oh. Well, we'll get to it. Nah, we might be able to get to it. Can we go into extra innings? Do I want to go into extra innings? No, I think I'm going to save some of this. We're just going to stick with a 90-minute program tonight. Andy Biggs. Like I said, he's chairman of the Freedom Caucus, and he's been involved in what's going on with Obamagate. No other name for it. This is his thoughts on what we're seeing now in the latest unfolding with the Flynn case and the unmasking. And what acting director of National Intelligence Rick Grenell has done. Tomorrow, John Ratcliffe gets sworn in. Could be a good thing. Anyway, here's Andy Biggs.
FBI Director Christopher Wray ordering an internal review of the investigation into former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn to determine if there were any errors or misconduct by Bureau officials and recommend improvements in procedures. The move coming after pressure from GOP lawmakers. Arizona Congressman Andy Biggs joins us now. He sits on the House Judiciary Committee. He also chairs the House Freedom Caucus. I heard one of your colleagues, good morning to you, Congressman, by the way. I heard one of your colleagues, Trey Gowdy, Friday evening with Martha say, why now? What's the answer to that?
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard for me to get why now when this thing started 3 years ago. And all I can say is that the revelations that have come out finally that show clearly that there was evidence that tended to exonerate Michael Flynn that was suppressed, and you see all kinds of misconduct now coming out publicly that we in Congress had known about. Maybe that's put the pressure on him. I don't know why this didn't happen a long, long time ago. And this is inures to the suspicion that some people have now of Christopher Wray.
So to be clear, this will be conducted internally by the Inspection Division. You have been on this for quite some time. Regardless of the timing of it, what do you think of this move by Director Wray?
Well, I think it's long overdue. I think it's a good move. This is kind of like an internal affairs investigation where they're going to see if there was any kind of criminal conduct or misconduct, and then they're going to take internal discipline. They don't have the power to bring criminal charges. That's up to the Attorney General. But when we start talking about this and take a look at it, we know that they've suppressed evidence and documents from Congress, from Michael Flynn's attorneys, for more than 2 years. And that is, they were under court order to disclose it. The law requires that they disclose it. And we also know that this investigation of Flynn itself was started for a political purpose. And we've seen documents come out recently because of that. And this hasn't been because of Christopher Wray, Director Wray. This is because of the Inspector General looking at him and this other pressure that's been put on them. And so that's, the timing of it is what's most dubious. The action itself is appropriate, but it should have been done a long time ago.
Got it. It's going to be called an after-action review. It's going to have a two-fold purpose, I'm told, evaluating the FBI's role in the case, and secondly, determining whether any, quote, current employees engaged in misconduct. Do you believe ultimately there will be any accountability that will come from this?
No.
Well, we haven't seen any so far. I would hope so. I hope the Attorney General goes after the folks that were at the top of that order that committed the coup. Then you have then you have
coup,
or attempted the coup. Then you have some others along the way that were following orders from those people, and we need to get to the bottom of that. I hope somebody's held accountable for this.
Yeah, it'd be
ultimately
nice.
Ultimately, what happens with the FISA process is of keen interest to you. You have been pushing on this. You recently introduced a Fourth Amendment Restoration Act as part of the push for tougher FISA reforms. Now we know that this modified FISA surveillance law passed by the Senate heads back to the House. What happens next with all of that, Congressman?
Well, I would like to see my bill go through. It's not going to get a chance. We're going to have our first proxy vote series this week on the FISA. The question is whether Speaker Pelosi will allow us to make amendments, but there's not going to be any real substantive changes. I think the Lee Leahy provision, which provides amicus, is a nice provision, but it doesn't get at the substantive root of the problem, and that is that you aren't having an Article III court make a determination on probable cause. And what that means is that Carter Page, and this is the root of all this, Carter Page would have had the same lack of protections after this bill passes as he had before. In other words, there were no protections in place for somebody like a Carter Page.
Okay, so we will continue following up on that. Meanwhile, final question to you on this letter that you have written now to the Internal Revenue Service. You are going after the IRS, expressing what you label as grave concerns about poor taxpayer services amid the coronavirus pandemic. You are hearing a lot of problems in your district about people being able to make phone calls to the IRS, get their paper returns done. What are you seeing and hearing, and what are you asking for?
Yeah, so first of all, you're right. I'm getting a lot of calls in my district, people who are waiting for refunds, who filed by paper, and that's just their preferred way. And they're making calls to inquire about various issues with the IRS. They're just not getting the responses that they need to get. So that's the push here, is to try to get the IRS to say why we're not getting those responses. I know that they're inundated because they were the ones processing some of these checks that were going out to everybody in the country. But the bottom line is you have to take care of your root business, your foundational business, and that is the constituent service of getting back the refunds that are due to these people and responding when they have a question or a complaint. And they're not doing that. And so we're hoping that IRS will give us a reason why and step up their game.
Okay, so no response yet, Congressman.
No response. Yeah, no. That's a long way of saying no response yet, Sandra. I'm sorry.
Got it. Congressman Andy Biggs from Arizona, always good to have you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sandra.
Okay. Again, here's the problem. They're going to uncover all this stuff, and I believe it's going to go. I think what we're going to see, because there have been a lot, I mean a lot, of fundamentally sharp cats who have had a lot of time and a lot of resources to go over these materials, and they're just voracious with them. As soon as this stuff comes out, people who know what they're doing are tearing into it. And fundamentally, what we see is a confirmation of sorts of all the things that we've speculated on. Now, it's not all true. It's not all false. It's some of the stuff kind of like there were red herrings. But the bottom line is this, and Andy Biggs said it, it is a coup. I think it is an ongoing coup. I don't think it was an attempted coup. I think that it's still ongoing. I think that there are still active members of Hydra out there working to undermine the president and to bring about his and therefore the country's and therefore yours and mine, our collective downfall. But he's right. It's a coup. That's what's been going on. And when governments are overthrown, I'm just tossing this out there. Oh, gosh, man, we're almost down to the wire. When governments are overthrown, somebody somewhere has conducted themselves in what could only be considered a treasonous fashion. Dare I say it? Yeah, I've said it. I've said it all along, man. I've called these cats traitors from the get-go, and I still do. John Brennan, by the way, speaking of John, did you guys know that in 1976, John Brennan, Johnny Red, Comrade John, voted for the Communist Party USA's presidential candidate, Slobbering Gus Hall. He did. By God, he did. And then he wound up director of the Central Intelligence Agency. He's a traitor. He ought to swing, just like Cuomo ought to swing, just like all these people who have committed these grievous sins against this country and its citizens. They should have to go to trial, and if these sins are proven, and they can be proven, we see that on a daily basis, then these people need to be found guilty and at a time and at a place taken out and hung by the neck until you are dead, dead, dead. Somewhere out far away, somewhere remote. And just leave him there. That's all the time we got, man. We're down to 90 seconds, according to Penelope. She just whispered, and then Mayor. ACP heard here Tuesdays, Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, live on Blog Talk Radio through the Patriot Nation Radio Network. Thursdays, Guapo is back, 8 o'clock, Patriot Nation. Thursday evenings, he'll be here, Patriot Nation Radio. We have a recorded version that goes out over the Mojo 50 Radio Network, mojo50.com. If you are not listening, Mr. and Mrs. America, you really should be the very best in conservative and libertarian talk radio out there. Mojo 50, West Virginia affiliate on Facebook. Cowboy Logic, Preserving America Forum. Good friends, Don Newman and Donna Fiducia. You want to check that out, Cowboy Logic Radio. ACP, we have the original page. We have the archive podcast page. You can check those out. Send us something. Send us a message at Mojo 50. It's a West Virginia affiliate. Twitter, ACPJB at Twitter. And let us know what you think. Tell your friends, man. We appreciate all the guys that are listening out there. Thank you so very much. I got to go. We'll see you on Thursday. This is Tuesday. See you on Thursday live again, when we'll be taking a look at things as we do through a conservative's perspective. Until then, God bless you. God bless America. We'll see you guys then. Take good care.